Are you tired of the I can't mindset? The I'm not good enough mindset? Do you feel like your negative thoughts control your life? Well, you came to the right place. Because in the next 30 minutes, you will learn how to break free from the limiting mindset of anxiety, fear, victimization, depression, trauma, and self-hatred by reprogramming your subconscious mind. It's time to master your mind with Dr. Erica.
Hello, good people, and welcome to Master Your Mind with Dr. Erica. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope that everyone is staying positively focused. Everyone is staying safe as we challenge this COVID-19 virus and really work on healing ourselves and taking a moment of pause. And with me today, I have a special guest, Michael LeBlanc, who is a trained licensed clinical social worker turned author of consciousness. He's an author of Manifest a Better Life with God, which is a Amazon number one international bestseller. Also co-author with Joe Vitale, The Abundance Factor. He does a chapter on the consciousness and the one mind. Also, author of Divine Dirt, which is inspired thoughts on life, God, spirituality, law of attraction, and gardening. And must I say, he has an amazing garden and photography in this book that is an absolute lovely coffee table book, which is just, it's inspirational and beautiful at the same time. And he also does t-shirts and mugs on his, now with the coffee table, that's where you find it on the website.
DivineDirt.net.
DivineDirt.net, right. Yeah. And then he also does a course called Return to Wholeness, which is balance and blessing your energy centers. And that's available on his website, createwithconsciousness.com. And so thank you so much, Michael, for coming on my show. Yes. And just sharing your wealth of knowledge and just blessings with my listeners.
No, thanks. No, it was really fun. I'm glad to be here. Great to meet you. And thanks for the nice introduction. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And so I always start with, you know, kind of tell me your story, because I think that everyone's story kind of is so valuable in showing how, you know, our life is a continual growth and journey and transformation. And so if you wouldn't mind, share a little bit of your journey with my listeners.
No, because I am in that recreating my life in the last 2 or 3 years. So I am a licensed social worker, as you mentioned, and that was kind of like back in 1987. I got my degree, my master's in social work, and just started in that field. Before that, I thought I was going to be a priest, but I was like, I loved people, I loved spirituality, but it's like, all right, I wasn't really religious, even though I was raised Catholic. The Bible to me is a source of spiritual teaching, but not like the only one, you know, and I'm gay. So it's like, you really probably shouldn't be a priest. So even in my 20s, I had a moment of wisdom and I went into social work instead. I had a pretty good career in social work, did different things with teenagers for a long time and family, had a private practice for a period of time. I lived in Austin, Texas, and had a private practice part-time, a little landscaping business part-time, because I really missed just being in the earth, and I grew up on a farm, so I kind of was missing that. But I always loved alternative healing and energy work, so I would incorporate things into there. But many years later, I had a bad experience with a client, and it just made me doubt my value. You don't know what you're doing. You shouldn't be doing this. You need to do something else. And it shook me, And as fun as it might be to want to blame her, the truth is all that was there and it really surfaced it. And I just couldn't swim above it for a bit. So I left the field. I left my practice. I gave it all up. And I got in the world of corporate training. And I was like, I remember I was sitting and I made this list for the universe, right? It's like, all right, let me just do, what if I did training full time? You can love people during the day. You're still helping them. But at the end of it, they're done. You're done with them.
You don't have to worry. You don't have to bring it home with you.
No one's calling you. No teenagers doing something stupid at 2 a.m. You know, you're just, you know. And I was like, yeah, it'd be fun if it had some travel. And so I ended up joining this international training company and doing leadership training for really large corporations like Chevron and Saudi Aramco and all these other folks. But I started on a Monday. I was in Scotland on a Friday. So my list manifested exactly with international. Went to like 20-something countries teaching around the world. But it was really supposed to be a break. It was supposed to be just a break. And then I would come back to the world of personal growth and come back to the world of spirituality and, you know, and just like recharge. Well, yeah, sometimes things go different. And next thing you know, it's been 15 years.
Wow. But that's a great experience in and of itself.
It was. And I got very good at what I was doing, but I knew in my heart I didn't love what I was doing. And so I ended up hiring a coach for myself. Like, all right, what's next? Because I don't want to keep doing this, even though I'm doing well with this.
Right.
And so that's when my first book, Manifest a Better Life, came. And the fun part about this book is originally it was just going to be, hey, here's 10 reasons why law of attraction might not be working and what to do about it. Right. Mm-hmm. That was going to be the book. I hired a coach. I used Joe Vitale for the first book. He had an authorship program. Adam was my coach personal. And I did that because I knew if I had a real coach, I would write the book. If I had to do this online, I would never get it done.
So you had someone to be accountable to.
I did.
Yeah,
I was like,
and that's the first book.
I'm not gonna want to pay money. Actually, so I have a chapter in his, but this was book number one.
Okay.
But his authorship program is what I used to write this
one. To write that one.
Yeah. But I would sit down and I'd go into meditation. I teach centering prayer in this one, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, but I would go into prayer meditation and then I would start writing, right? And my coach was like, don't edit while you write, just write, because it'll let the flow happen. And the moment you start editing, you interrupt the energy, you'll mess it all up. And it's hard to do, but I would just write. And then this whole book happened, which is not what I planned on writing. And it's a story, you enter into prayer time with God and I, and it's this chapter one, it's called Why the Heck Isn't It Working? It's like, I've tried everything, I've been at it for years, why do some things manifest, why do other things not? And this whole dialogue happened. Yeah. So this was my way to get back out of corporate America, and I started my own business called Create with Consciousness, and got a life coaching certification. I'm still a licensed social worker. I still do energy work with my folks and in my workshops and things like that. So then I had both feet in the world of corporate, and I was slowly starting my business, got my first book out. But it was this process of believing in myself again. It was this process of, you know, I know you gave it up back then because you thought it was true. You really didn't know enough. You weren't good enough. You know, the list of the not enoughs.
Everyone has.
We do. And this was my comeback, right? But I didn't want to come back as a therapist per se. I was like, spirituality is too important. I want it woven in there. I really believe in metaphysics. I want it woven in there. I really believe in energy work. I want it woven in there. It doesn't fit the typical bucket. So it's like, well, we're just going to do what we do and we're just going to create it.
Yeah, it is so true.
We'll see how the hell it turns out.
But you know what, Michael, that is so true, because in the 23 years that I've been practicing, the underlying limiting belief is that we're not good enough or that we're not worthy. And the more you learn about the metaphysical and the law of attraction and how your thoughts create things, you can't practice any other way. You have to practice the truth that you know. And so your practice begins to evolve with your knowledge. And so it makes sense that you went from social worker to kind of life coach or consciousness coach, which is...
Yeah, because part of the reason I call myself a consciousness coach is because I genuinely know, everything is a part of divine consciousness. And this is a story really about God as consciousness. And call it what you want, but it's a story of the divine as consciousness. And everything is an expression of it, and that includes us. And so because of that, our inherent nature is it itself. We are God consciousness itself. Our awareness itself is God, if you will.
Yeah.
And so then it becomes, well, what are you aware of? what are you doing with this amazing thing that you are? And a lot of times we are not paying attention to what we're doing with it. And so we manifest all this kind of crap. And we're like, well, I don't want that, you know? And it's like, so this was really the nuances of all that and who we are and our truth about it. And then we get into some of the nuances and teachings about how do you manifest deliberately. But I wrote it as a story to kind of do that. But it was my way back out of corporate America.
I love the story because you do have a dialogue with God. And it kind of mm-hmm. reminded me of the book Conversations with God by Donald Neil Walsh, I think it was. And it really gave an intimate view of your thought process and kind of how that God consciousness or that one consciousness evolved for you. Because mm-hmm. a lot of those questions that you were asking and the thoughts that you were having were intimate to you, but were also intimate to me. And when you read it, you're like, wow, like, how did he know I wanted to ask that question? Or how did he know my process was right in line with his process? And so I love this concept of, you know, one consciousness, one mind, and how to create in that one consciousness.
And that we're never separate from it becomes a big piece of it, you know, and it's tapping into it. There's processes to do that. But then from there, because if you think about it, this consciousness is wholeness, it's complete already. Yeah. It's not expressing because it lacks anything. It's expressing because of the joy of expressing. And so when we're manifesting, it's important, if we are manifesting and we feel lack, then we're not in the right space to even begin the process. Because the divine manifests from a place of whole and complete. So I got to get to there. And from there, I can manifest amazing, you know, and it's in a lot of the spiritual teachings, you know, believe, you know, done unto you as you believe, but the believe part and the believing it done part, that's not easy.
Yeah.
And like, that's a lot of work.
You're absolutely right. And I think the challenging part is how do you stay aligned with that? Because knowing it is one thing, but staying in alignment with that's the piece that oftentimes we go astray.
Right. And I think it's human to move off track. I mean, we just get pulled into the dramas of life and you know, we're here to experience it. So why the hell not?
Yeah. Exactly.
It doesn't ever hinder and limit or harm your divine self when you take those journeys. And I love some of Esther Hicks' teachings about your feelings are always letting you know if you're aligned or not.
Yes.
The more negative you are, the more not aligned you are. The more positive you feel, the more aligned you are, right? And so that's always my key and my indicator. And even right now with everything going on, it's like I limit how much I watch the news. If I can't watch it, and it's starting to take me elsewhere.
Miss Lisa Erickson with us.
We can be smart right now with what we need to do because of the nature of the virus, but we don't have to feel terrified at the same time we're smart. Like you can still feel peaceful and safe and do what you need to do, right? But not be stupid about yourself and, you know, pretend it couldn't get, you know, it's like, no, there's a smart, you're an intelligent being, be that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
But you don't have to feel terror, you know, at the same time.
And I think that's the key to, you talk about your centeredness prayer. I think the key is once you feel yourself getting the anxiety or growing the fear or growing the negative mindset, then you have to check yourself and you have to center yourself back. And so we have to take a commercial break, but when we come back, I really want you to maybe give us some examples or reference some of the materials that you have that give good centering meditative practices or prayers that that can help us, because right now we are in a period of the unknown and
right,
you know, uncomfortable and a lot of anxiety and uncertainty. And so
we can do three very specific tangible, you know, how to's kind of when we come back.
Sounds good. We'll be right back. Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Hello, good people. We're back with Michael LeBlanc, and we're talking about just how to use this, be aware of the God consciousness or the one mind consciousness. And with that, Michael's going to give us some little tidbits of centering prayers or some guided meditation that we can use as just practical applications in our lives today with the COVID-19 virus and people kind of in a self-imposed quarantine lockdown in their homes and trying to manage the day-to-day that is different from our everyday flow and activity. And we have more time to just be still and to get centered. And so Michael's going to give us some good practical tools that we can use.
And I'm my own guinea pig. So everything I share in my books has been tried on me.
I love that. Cause you know, it works.
Yeah. So centering prayer, I started doing that in the early 1990s and I've continued to do it every day. I do it multiple times a day. So I talk about it in chapter 2 of my book here, and in a chapter called "There's Strength in Silence" in the Divine Dirt book. But you can also, contemplativeoutreach.org is a organization that completely promotes centering prayer mainstream worldwide. And so I'll just give you the how-to because of the time. And if you want to know more about it, you can kind of go to those places. But really, so it's about getting quiet. So you're either going to sit comfortably, you could lay down, but if you're too sleepy, don't lay down because you want to stay aware, but it's closing your eyes. But it's really the intention that's the key to this prayer. It's the intention is to be with or to sense your divine nature, God, universe, source, whatever that is to you. But the intent is for this next period of time, and they recommend 20 minutes at a time. You set a timer. I use an app called Insight Timer, which is fantastic. And you think of what they call it, a sacred word. And it's really just something that's going to remind you of what your intention is. So if you drift off in thought during the 20 minutes, or you start having feelings and you get kind of lost in there, you come back to your sacred word as a way to remember, my intent is to just be with the divine, to sense it, hang out with it. I think of like if you and God are on a bench and just your presence is really enough. You don't need to add words. You're just being with, right? And so I think of it that way. And if I leave in thought, I need to come back. So it's not a mantra I just repeat. I'm really just using the word to bring me back to what I'm here to do in this moment, which is just sense it and be with it. I remember when I first started centering prayer, I had a specific experience. I was just learning how to do it. And man, it was this visceral energy presence was not coming from out there. It was all happening in here. I've done 10-day retreats. I've done, you know, all these kind of things with it. But you can do 5 minutes of it. You can do 10 minutes of it. You can do 20 minutes of it, you know, so you can vary it. But that's the simplicity of it. It's really quieting, breathing. You're going to be with you. You think of your intent. You think of a simple 1-2-syllable word as your sacred word. I use "Hi, God," because I think of it like if you and I were sitting and I leave in my own little world, and I'd come back and say, "Oh, hi, Erica. I forgot I was supposed to be with you."
Yeah.
You know.
And it's so. Do you say it out loud?
I just say
because I'm often in my head saying peace.
No, I just say it. Yeah, I just say it internally.
Okay.
It's just a trigger to, like, you have left and now you need to come back.
So once you become aware that you've left, yes, or your mind is wrong, to your word. Yeah, yeah, it is.
You're gonna. And then sometimes what happens, because you're not used to being so quiet and still, it's a safe place now, feelings can come up.
Yeah.
Well, just go with them, let them, but keep coming back to being with and sensing your divine self and being with that. And then the timer goes off and then you kind of resume, right? So it's a very simple process, but it's profound when you do it, and it's even better when you do it consistently. And the research really shows that fight flight part of our brain, that amygdala, it really helps down regulate that, and it helps boost your immune system. And
yes,
so when you can tap in and feel better, you're providing a better emotional home for your cells, your neurology, your immune system, all of that. And it can function more normally, which is healthy. Normal, right. Healthy is normal.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Healthy is normal. I was going to say, I think that a lot of people look for external pleasures to bring them that sense of peace or that sense of calm or the centering. And what you begin to realize when you become still, when you become quiet, or you bring your wandering mind back, that the true power is within, the true source of whatever it is that you feel like you need or you're lacking is within.
It is. It's a great practice to not need anything out there to help you feel better, right? So that was one of the ones I wanted to share. There's a couple more in Divine Dirt. So Divine Dirt is a collection of some of it's there's tons of techniques and teachings and all this. Some of them are inspirational, but some of them are how-tos. And so one of the chapters is called Fear to Joy in 12 Minutes. And I wanted to just share that one real quick. So I don't know if I woke up this particular morning, I'm feeling anxious, I'm worried, and all I did was wake up. I mean, that's all I did. Nothing happened. I just woke up. And so I grab my journal. I always have meditation time in the morning. I get quiet. I journal. I do centering prayer and some other things. But I grab my journal, and one of the things Esther always teaches is about reach for thoughts that feel better, right?
Yes.
So over time, I've developed a little technique I call my true self agreement. And what it is, if I use it as a journaling technique, I make this agreement with myself that I'm going to only journal for the next 10 minutes about things that are true with my divine self. If it's not in alignment with my divine self, I cannot write it down, right? So I can only write thoughts that I think align. And then I'm doing it to keep reaching for a better feeling. I'm the thoughts will happen first and your feelings will follow, right? Your feelings always follow your focus. So I make that agreement first, and I did set a timer. I was curious, well, how long was it going to take me to go from fear to feeling better, right? So I set a timer out of curiosity. And I made the agreement and I start writing. And sometimes you just have to sit there for a minute. It's like, well, I don't know what to write.
Right. That's what I'm thinking. What do you write?
It's like, well, that thought's not in alignment, so don't write that down.
So you're going to have other thoughts, but only write down the ones that are in alignment.
Yeah. This is specific. Like, I'm not journaling about my fear. I'm not journaling about my worry and my why. All that's rehearsed already. It needs no more airtime. It needs nothing from me. This other space needs my time. It needs the airtime and the attention. So that's where I'm going. And so it's like, well, in this moment, nothing really bad is happening. And that might be the thought I write, you know, like right now, truly, I just woke up and nothing bad actually is going on.
Right.
That might just be where I start. And then I sit with that and I reach for another one. But I started noticing, I did start feeling some relief, and I just would keep writing and I kept my agreement. And I got to a point, I genuinely felt awesome. Like, it was a great day. Life was good. It was complete black and white from where I was. And I checked the timer and it had been 12 minutes. And so that's where the Fear to Joy in 12 Minutes title came from. It was like, I was curious. Hey, it took me 12 minutes to go from feeling terrified about life to great about life, but I had to make the agreement and stick to it and not allow myself to veer off. So that was just another technique I throw out there. Do I have time for one more?
Yeah, you're okay. Good.
So the other one I wanted to share, and it's page 73 in the Divine Dirt book, and it's called Two Experiments with Love. And it's a heart meditation. And so I'm at an airport. I've checked in, but I need to get my luggage checked and stuff. So I'm in line. Man in front of me, another one here. They are mad. Especially the one in front of me. And he's just fussing with the agent. And I'm just like, oh my God. And I'm purposely like, I'm not looking at either one of them, because if I do, it's just going to be like, they're just going to want to share their
anger. Right, you're just giving them more negative energy, right?
No. So, and I'm just leaving a 7-day intensive with Joe Dispenza. So the last thing I want to do is go there. So I decide, you know, I'm going to do this little heart meditation that I do sometimes. I'm just going to breathe into my heart center while I'm standing in line. So from an outer perspective, I just look like somebody standing in line. But inwardly, I'm busy. And I'm breathing into my heart and I'm telling it to open. And I'm trying to sense the energy of love and divine love in my heart. So not the thought, but the sensation of. And eventually I start feeling that. And then I just start sending that to these people in front of me and to the situation. And I don't really know what's going on. And I don't want to be delayed and all that either. But let's not worry. Let's just send the love. And so I keep tuning in here. I keep sending it out. And really within moments, I hear LeBlanc Lafayette, which is me and where I'm going. And she looks at the guy, the angry guy with the big suitcase who's right in front of me. And she's like, you need to move and you need to move your luggage. And she, of course, which makes him even madder. And he gets pushed aside. I walk up, she tags my bag. She apologizes for the delay. I've been like 5 minutes. It's been no delay for me.
Wow.
And I'm just like, hey, you know, and I appreciate what you do. You know, sorry you're having a bad day. And I go, all my flights are good and all kind of works out, right? But I had to kind of do this heart-centered piece. And it was more of not a head exercise. So it's not a positive affirmation, if you will. It was, I'm reaching for the sensation. It's kind of like you can sense a person next to you. You're not thinking that, you're sensing that. Mm-hmm. When you sense, you shift your brainwaves. You go to a different place. So I wanted to sense that divine space. One more I share in the book on the two experiments with love. The second experiment was with my husband. He's frustrated. He's had a horrible day. He's supposed to be off. Work is pulling at him constantly. We're going to be going to dinner soon. He's just venting. I'm sitting on the couch. I'm listening. And I'm like, you know, dinner's just going to suck. Right? It's just like, God, you know. And so I go into my heart. I do the breathing. I sense all is well. I feel that divine love. And I just start sending it to him. I don't say anything. I'm just sitting there. Next thing you know, he sits by me. He starts, I can tell his energy starting to shift. And then TV's on. I keep doing it for a couple of more minutes. And he just sort of curls into me. Right. And we just sort of sit there and we watch TV a couple more minutes. I just keep doing it. And then it's like everything's just different. He's different. We go to dinner. He didn't bring it up. He's done with it.
You changed the energy.
He did. Yeah. And it was just sending it out there. I didn't say anything. And I think of today, and I just did a live Facebook, and I invited people on the live to do the heart meditation. But envision the globe, envision all the billions of us together, and just send love to everyone, because this is the virus is, you know, it's everyone. There's no country separate. There's no people separate. There's no nothing. You're human.
That's right.
You're in the game.
Right. You're at risk. Exactly.
So I really wanted to just get to the heart center first. And then when you're feeling it, see the globe, see the world, and bless the world all at one time. So again, it's just a simple technique, but you're going to go to the fear. You're going to go to those things. We're human. We will.
Yes.
My choice is always, how long am I going to stay there? You know, my stepdad spent his life there. He died alone, miserable, lost all his family because he was just this horrible person to be around, you know. That was a choice. You know, so in these moments today, we will get pulled, come back. like, do not go a day without doing something to bring you back. I don't care if it's a walk. I don't care if it's sit outside. I don't care if it's pet your dog. You know, look at it, look at a happy picture, you know, whatever it is.
Right.
We have to do something to interrupt the cycle. Because if you don't, then you're just being a victim to your feelings. And we really aren't, but it takes practice to learn ways to interrupt that. So, yeah. So those would be my three.
Yeah, I love those, because I think that what you, the key is the feeling part of it.
It is.
You know, get out of your head and just connect with that emotion of love, or that emotion of healing, or that emotion of forgiveness, or that emotion of, you know, blessing or gratitude, and yeah, that changes your energy. I mean, it does.
You got to
without
stay
speaking.
With whatever, yeah, whatever process you're using, if it's not shifting you emotionally, you need to either do it longer, or you need to try a different one. Because it's like, even like positive thinking, it's a very, that's, there's not a lot of energy in that.
Right.
But if the positive thinking is shifting you emotionally, then great, stay with it.
Yeah.
If it's not, do something else. You know?
Yeah. And that's why I love the gratitude, you know, focus on, you know, that brings you a more positive emotions. Yeah, thank you.
Because even with clients, when I do one-on-one, it's, and we do the energy work in my sessions, and it's really about, and you need to experience this different. Like, you need to experience, even if it's you're trying to manifest X, then you need to feel that in this now moment consistently, right? And if you're not, then you're not done yet.
Yeah.
You can get frustrated about it all day long, but you're just not done yet.
Right. And you know, that's what you talk about that I loved in the book, The Manifest, A Better Life with God, is you talk about how the connection of the manifestation comes when you lock into the emotion of it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's easier to do with some things than others. And that's just because you have less hangups going on. For some people around money, there's so much crap in the way. Truly feeling the nowness of yourself wealthy is just hard.
Yeah.
Right. It doesn't mean you can't. It just means it's going to take longer. It takes more work.
You got
it.
Right.
You know, one of the things that, like Joe, one of the things I loved about Joe in the 7-day intensive I did is he really, it made me stay in meditation longer than I tended to. So it made me stay in that space longer than I was, right? I'm gonna share one more quick story. I don't know if I have time.
Yeah. We're like, this will be your last words of wisdom.
It's another chapter in here, and the title is How I Healed a Growth on My Scalp. And I had this growth. It was good, like finger thumb size. Years, I just could not get rid of it. People are like, you need to go get that checked. I'm like, no, I'm going to do this. You know, I'm going to make it go away.
Okay.
God and I got, you know, I'm going to tap in. We're going to do it. Years, nothing. And then I'm reading Neville Goddard one more time. I read him all the time. And there's nuances you just hit on when you reread stuff. And he's a big one for thinking from the end, but feeling from the end. And I was like, all right, I need to come up with a way to feel it. It's done, because I keep trying to heal it. Well, if you're trying to heal it, then it's still there. So you're not in the consciousness yet of it's done.
Right.
That's a different consciousness. I got to go there. And so I kept envisioning this picture, this conversation with my hairdresser, because he sees it. And the conversation was, he sees it's gone. And he's like, well, what did you do? Who did you go to? How they burn it off? Or what did you do? And I'm like, no, I went within. I felt and worked with the divine on feeling that space of it. I don't have the growth anymore. And I got into the real energy and feeling of it. And you know, within 3 weeks, it started shifting. And at first I was like, am I making that up, or is it really getting smaller? I kept going with this thing on getting that the place where it doesn't exist. And then it really did start shrinking, and then it did start fading. And like, because my hair's thinner as I get older, you can see it. And now it's gone. But for years, nothing. But that was because I kept trying to heal it. And the space where it was healed, it did not exist anymore. It was not in that consciousness anymore. And I had to get into the feeling of that. And that was harder to do. But when I did it, and I did it consistently, 3 weeks later, it changes. Right?
Wow. That is an amazing story. So, and I love it. I love it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I just really appreciate all of your words of wisdom, all of your practical applications and techniques. And
thanks.
Thank you.
No, I appreciate you having me on. Can I give one last plug? So the name
yes.
is Dirt. So me, you can reach me at createwithconsciousness.com. Michael at createwithconsciousness.com for email. Both my books, though, are on Amazon. And I do free sessions. I always do a first session free that includes the energy work. It's kind of your try your shoes on before you buy them.
I love it. I love it. So anyway, thank you so much. Yeah. Michael LeBlanc.
I appreciate it.
I appreciate you. Thank you so much. Take care.
Thanks, Erica.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Master Your Mind with Dr. Erica. We will be back next with another terrific episode that will allow you to master your mind. Please visit hemphappier.com for more information about Dr. Erica and CBD oil. See you next week.